there will always be a million practical reasons why it makes sense to not change anything. But if your gut has been talking to you and then eventually screaming at you, you know, to make a change, like, you know, it's never wrong.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Helping with Dr. Richard Schuster. Food for the brain, knowledge from the experts, tools to win at life. I'm your host, Dr. Richard. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, and whatever you do, this is the show that is going to help you become the best version of yourself. Each episode, you will hear from some of the most amazing, talented, and successful people on the planet who followed their passions and strive to help others. Join our movement to get a million people each day to commit acts of kindness for others. Together, we're going to make the world a better place. Are you ready? Because it's time for your Daily Helping.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of the Daily Helping Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Richard, and we have a brilliant guest to share with you today. Her name is Mandy Tang, and she is a career coach, a holistic healer, and she helps clients from big tech startups and the nonprofit sector bring more creativity and joy into their work lives. And who doesn't need that? Mandy also runs the popular TikTok account at Career Coach Mandy with over 161,000 followers. And the Muse named her one of the top 20 career coaches to watch on TikTok. She's here with us today to talk about her new book, Heal Your Career Wounds, Navigating the Trauma of Today's Workplace. Mandy, welcome to the Daily Helping. I have been excited about this conversation since it showed up on my calendar. Let's go.
Thank you, Dr. Richard. I'm so excited to be here.
Me too. This is going to be a lot of fun. So before we get into the book, and I'm excited about the book because it's very unique, but I want to find out a bit more about your journey. I want to go into the Mandy Tang time machine. Take us back and share with us some of these key moments that put you on the path you're on today.
I think like a lot of people, I was on a pretty traditional path, you know, studied sociology as an undergrad, worked in New York City in marketing and advertising for a few years, worked in magazines, was really going down this like pretty normal corporate path, went and got my MBA. I mean, like really, you know, a very standardized thing.
Checking the boxes.
Yeah, just checking the boxes towards some, I guess, like fulfillment or success that I was supposed to be doing. And I mean, the one thing is like, I would always kind of just do things that I wasn't good at. So like even going to study finance, I was like, I'm going to do this because I'm bad at math, you know? And like, so I had a kind of fearlessness around like diving into things that were totally new to me. But at the same time, I was also very wired to kind of check the boxes and like achieve the traditional kind of climbing up the corporate ladder. And after I kind of did all of that, I actually stepped off and went to start my own business. This was like in the early 2010s in New York, and went through the whole process of, oh, okay, so now I'm going to be an entrepreneur and I'm going to raise money and I'm going to be pitching to venture capitalists. And it felt like freedom, but then it was also, you know, even within the entrepreneur circles, there are such markers of success, right? So then it was like, oh, let's try to get into this incubator, and then let's try to like, you know, so I basically ended up burning out pretty badly after the startup experience, and was, I like to call it kind of like in my own dark night of the soul, right? Where I was like, great. So I've done all the things. I have all the fancy degrees and I'm burned out. I like pushed myself way too hard doing this startup thing. And like, now what, you know, and kind of had to rebuild and think about like, okay, if everything is stripped away, right? Like if I am not the co-founder of a startup, if I don't have fancy titles, if I don't have money, then like what is my identity outside of work, really? And I had been so obsessed with work that it was hard to kind of carve out an identity for myself. And so this became something that I like personally wrestled with. And then people started coming to me for coaching. It started off with really simple things like, oh, I know you're like good at marketing. Can you help me with my resume? And because I had like done all these things and like worked at big companies and stuff, like I could help people with their sort of job search materials. And then over time, it kind of evolved into, you know, I'd be working with a client on their resume and it would just open up more stuff about them. And I started to realize like, oh, like a lot of the things that I experienced, you know, that kind of like wandering around in the desert, trying to like feeling lost, like not knowing what to do next. Like this is actually way more common than like, this was not just a me experience. Like tons of people go through this. And I think because I had gone through it myself, I was in a position to like advise people and talk through some of the more like emotional terrain of what these people were going through during their career transitions. So I think I sort of inadvertently found my calling that way.
Sometimes how it happens. And it's interesting too, because when we typically think about career transitions, what are we thinking about? We are talking about the resume. How do I find skills that I have that translate into some new industry where I can make money and pay my bills? But we don't often stop to think about, what about the punch to the face? What about the identity? I mean, you described it really well. This identity you had as this entrepreneur stripped away, right? It's all stripped away. And then where is that? And for many people, unfortunately, don't have a personal identity. Their personal identity is their professional identity. So I think that's a whole nother problem. But as you said, you accidentally stumbled on an opportunity to find your calling, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah. And like, I love that you said punch to the face, because that literally was like something I would study. So I used to actually read about how boxers would recover from a punch to the face. And because that's how I would describe it, I'd be like, you literally just been punched in the face. Like, we have to talk about how did they recover. And like, when boxers get hit in the face, they actually, there's like a strong period of disorientation where they're trying to like regain their focus. And it's like numbness is the primary thing that they experience. And so that's actually something that I would work with my clients on, because I'd like read about this. I'd read about like how fighters recover. And I'd be like, these are the same things that I have to bring to my clients.
It's so interesting. So what you're really talking about is equilibrium.
Yeah. And also, I think within the context of equilibrium, what we're talking about is that a lot of people gain equilibrium through external, right? Oh, I got a promotion. Oh, I have more money. Oh, I'm moving up. Oh, I'm lateraling to this other company, right? A pat on the head. And where I really try to help clients find their equilibrium is internal. So like getting those signals from yourself, not relying on degrees or certifications or, you know, your LinkedIn updates, but rather like finding that inside, which is, people don't really get taught as much how to do that.
I would argue they might not get taught at all how to do it. I mean, I think you're onto something really important, and it connects to something else that's important, because if you have strong internal validation versus external validation, you have control over that. And you know, a lot of times when we talk about psychological dysfunction involving things like depression and anxiety, which are prevalent in our society today, unfortunately, especially in younger demographics, we talk about an internal versus an external locus of control. And what the data has shown over and over again across genders, across populations, across ethno different groupings of people, is that those individuals that have a stronger sense of self-efficacy, that is, to use your boxer analogy, if I get punched in the face, I know that I have the internal tools to be able to get back up off the mat and move to the next thing. That is remarkably empowering. And when we translate that to your universe, and we're talking about careers, if you're helping people, and I love this, Mandy, if you're helping people find that validation, that power from who they are and what makes them awesome, they're much better able to weather the storm when external things happen that are out of their control.
Yes. And I think one of the elements that is important to talk about here is the false sense of safety that we feel in a workplace. So a lot of people that I work with say to me, I mean, it's just a job. I don't know why I feel so anxious. I don't know why my phone goes off and I get full body, like chills, like, oh, I have to respond to this email, right? And I think because it is work, our guard is kind of down. Like, well, what could happen here? I mean, it's just a 9-to-5, right? But I think it just dawned on me in my first year, you know, back in like 2017 when I started coaching, where people would come to me and I realized, I was like, oh my gosh, like they are actually traumatized. I mean, it wasn't that much of a surprise. We've all been traumatized, right? But like, just to recognize it, the pattern recognition of seeing again and again, like, oh, there is actually trauma that has happened here and we have to treat it as such. So instead of being like, great, let's talk about how to market yourself to the next employer, right? I would take a beat and I'd say, hey, do you want to talk about what happened? Can we name some of the things that you experienced? Can we draw a map to that? Is there a pattern to what you've experienced? How do we, more importantly, how do we prevent you from walking into the same situation again?
So I was going to ask you, what was the reason you decided to write Heal Your Career Wounds? And I think you just told us that, you know, that this is something that showed up with your clients. So let's talk about it. So, you know, somebody listening to this retract on, yes, my last boss, you know, my job was terrible and I had a lunatic tyrant for a boss. And every time the phone rang and I saw it was him, it gave me anxiety. So let's talk about how we start moving past that.
I think one of the things to understand is that the thing that hurts us most usually is something around a power dynamic that we do not control or that we don't really understand how it is affecting us. And so I think the way that you move past it is truly recognition. Like once you see what's happening, it's hard to unsee it. And I used to think, you know, as a coach, I'd be in these sessions. I used to think, well, there's got to be some kind of, is there a dramatic thing that we do? Is there a, you know, unraveling of a curse that has to happen and some sort of smoke and song that needs to, it's really not as dramatic. It truly is like having the person talk about what happened, recognizing the pattern. And that often is enough to get them to say, oh, just the acknowledgement of like, oh, so that's what happened.
When you bring this to people and you actually present this to them, generally, what is their reaction?
High emotion, lots of crying, which I tell, I'm like, hey, this is so normal. I'm not fazed at all. Like, let it out. Relief, humor. I mean, we laugh a lot too, because sometimes it's like, you got to find the funny in it as well. Like, oh my gosh, like, yes, that's so funny. That is exactly what's happening, right? Relief, fear, a lot of fear around, well, okay, so if that happened, how do I make sure that how do I make sure that doesn't happen again? And I don't really do a, you know, let's tie a pretty bow on it. I do a, let's sit with it. And how does that make you feel?
Hey guys, Dr. Richard here. For the past 7 years, I've been privileged to bring you incredible guests who are changing the world and can help you become the best version of yourself. I'm really excited to share with you a new quiz that I created based on my clinical training that will curate for you a custom list of my top episodes and actionable strategies to help you wherever you are on your journey. All you need to do is go to drrichardschuster.com to take it, and it's 100% free. You'll be taking the next step on the journey to unlocking the power of you, and I can't wait to see where you'll go. I want to go back to the book, and I suspect because we've had this free-flowing conversation, we've been kind of jumping around, that we're touching on things that are in the book. But structurally, I want to give you an opportunity to really express to readers what they're going to get out of reading Heal Your Career Wounds and how it is set up.
So I wrote the book to mirror the arc of a client session. So when you first arrive in the book, there's a lot of what I would call putting your luggage down. There's a lot of like, okay, we're arriving, we are assessing. There's a quiz in the beginning that you take where you can try to understand what are some of the patterns like burnout, perfectionism, comparing yourself to other people? What are some of the common patterns that are present in your life, right? What I tried to do in that section and early on was to give the reader reassurance that they're not alone in this, that you're not crazy, you didn't make it up. Like, if you have been through something, you know, like a toxic boss or bullying at work, like, yes, it's real. You're not making it up, right? And then moving through actionable solutions, giving scenarios, being like, okay, so if you're in a scenario where your boundaries are not being respected, here are some things you can say. Here are some things you can do. There's a lot of exercises in the book as well, trying to give people, you know, little 5-minute, okay, here's a journaling exercise you can do. Here's a physical exercise you can do to move the emotion through your body so you can process it and then release it. There's also, so after I went to get my MBA, I wanted to get some additional training. And I really wanted to do something more on the spiritual side, because as I had seen in my coaching practice, that what people were bringing to the table was pretty heavy. I was like, well, my accounting class is not going to be helping me with this. You know, I'm going to need some spiritual tools. So I actually went and completed a 3-year shamanic practitioner program, where really just understanding the terrain of the human soul and understanding tools around protecting yourself from negative energy and removing negative energy. That's the simplest way I can put it. So later on in the book, there are the introduction of some really easy and accessible things that you can do to kind of energetically protect yourself as well. So that's kind of the arc of the book. And then the book ends with a 7-day reset, because I thought, okay, well, people have gone through this, their own little dark night of the soul. We've named these things, we've identified these things. What is something that they could actually put into action? So it's 7 days. Like, day one, you're going to, you know, journal about this. Day two, you're going to try this exercise. So trying to make it very alive where possible.
In that, the book essentially mirrors what you would take a client through, a coaching client in the real world. What are the places of this process, as described in the book, where people might feel the most resistance or get stuck?
There's a part in the book where it talks about the dark night of the soul. So the dark night of the soul, there's the big event that happens, right? So this would be like the layoff, or this would be like you've quit your job, or you've just reached a point where you had a panic attack at work. Okay, that's like the breaking point. Then there's the coming apart. We call it dismemberment, right? Then there's the liminal space, which is the gray area in between, where you're kind of like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I'm in transition between places. And then there's the final stage, which is integration. The part that is most challenging for people is liminal space. You haven't put yourself back together yet. You're just kind of hanging out. You don't know what's next. And you're sort of sitting in that void of the unknown. Self-patience, self-love, talking about it, writing about it, feeling it, existing in it, getting enough sleep, getting enough exercise, meal prep. I mean, this is like what I say in the book too. I'm like, by the way, getting through it, extremely boring. Like, there's no magic pill. It's just you show up for yourself every day in small ways, and eventually you realize, oh my gosh, I'm through it.
And I think probably on the backside of the experience, it's empowering for somebody to say, hey, I went through this once, and then to have that foundational knowledge that in the event that I had another toxic boss at work, or, you know, something, I got laid off due to, you know, whatever, AI got rid of our division or something, that you're better equipped to handle something like this the next go around.
Yeah. And I shouldn't even laugh, because that is actually true. A lot of people are currently getting, like, I laugh out of like the reality of the, you know, mild horror of what's actually happening. And companies are using AI also, you know, as the reason, you know, but truth will tell in time if that really is the reason why people are being laid off. But I think what I'm speaking about is that from the experience of the person who was laid off, it can feel obviously really disorienting. It can feel humiliating, like a rejection. And also it can feel opaque, like they're not really sure why it happened. Like, oh, because of quote unquote AI. But what does that even mean, right? So I guess I'm just trying to name what that disorienting experience might be like for someone.
And what if a person can never get resolution on that piece, right? Like you just said, that it was such a great example. I was fired because of AI in air quotes, but maybe they really weren't. Maybe they think they were fired for something else, but that's the company line. Like, so if you can never get that resolution from a former employer, what advice would you give to somebody as to how to move past that?
I think it's an analogy to saying, it's like when you, I'll just speak from like a girl's perspective, but like if you have a boyfriend and then you break up and he's kind of a terrible boyfriend, you're never going to sit down and have that conversation where you're like, okay, so let's both meet each other where we are and like talk this through. Like it's just not going to happen. This is all about narrative, right? What is the inner story that we are telling ourselves is the most important story. And so the work that would happen is to say, what's the story you're currently telling yourself? And then how might you rewrite that? Right. So if the current story is, I feel like I wasn't good enough and they were kind of pushing me out, and no matter what I did, like they were always going to push me out. That is an employer driven narrative. An alternative narrative could be, okay, but how did you feel about it? Did you like them? If it were up to you, would you have stayed? And then the alternative narrative might be, actually, like, putting aside how they might have felt about me, I didn't even really like it there for the past year anyway. I was already looking. I was already interviewing somewhere else, right? So we always want to place our own autonomy and our own sovereignty at the forefront of the story that we tell ourselves.
I wanted to give a little space for you to talk about your TikTok channel and what people are going to get when they tune in there.
My unhinged TikTok channel. So I realized that I have this privilege of talking to so many people one-on-one. And in that capacity as a coach, right? So before TikTok, and nobody knew who I was, right? My business was mostly just word of mouth. And I would just coach people one-on-one. And I'd have these really deep conversations with people going through career transitions. And so I started seeing things, you know, I'd be like, oh, this is like that person's talking about, you know, that senior leader woman is talking about how she wants to build more confidence. And then I just talked to another SVP who's like literally saying the same thing. I was in a position to kind of observe through all of these individual data points, the zeitgeist, right? So I was starting to be like, oh, this is a thread. This is happening. There are these patterns here. And so when I got on TikTok, I just started talking about those things and giving advice. So obviously I would anonymize everything. And you don't even really need to know like the specific client stories, but I would say, hey, so something I've been noticing is that a lot of people are talking about imposter syndrome. A lot of people are talking about burnout. A lot of people are talking about, you know, how it's actually harder to work for a female boss because maybe they're a little bit competitive and like, how weird is that, you know? And so I would just name these things. I would just talk about them. And then people, I mean, TikTok is a very like, it comes very alive in the comments. And so people in the comments would be like, oh my gosh, me too. Or let me tell you this story. And then when you create TikToks, you can respond to the comments. So then I'd like make videos responding to the comments. And I just think that it became a safe space. Well, also the thing with TikTok is like, unlike LinkedIn or unlike Facebook, right? Like a lot of times people on TikTok, they don't use their real names. You know, it'll be like cat lover 55. Like it's, you know, it's not. And so I think in some ways people were actually felt really safe to be like, oh man, this happened to me too. Like, girl, you wouldn't believe. Like, so there was a lot of safety in talking on there because you're not using your LinkedIn profile, right? To be like, oh yes, I have a toxic boss. And so that led to a lot of freedom and hilarious things that we would talk about on the channel. And it's just sort of, I've been doing it for 4 or 5 years now. So the channel has grown. And I also sometimes talk about kind of what's happening in corporate America, things I'm seeing with startups. And so it's very, very healthy discussions happening on there.
Awesome. Well, we will have a link to it in the show notes if anybody wants to check it out. Mandy, this has been such a fun conversation. Unique, as I said, I've been excited about this because this is a topic I've never broached on the show in all these years. So as you know, I wrap up every episode by asking my guests just this one question, and that is, what is your biggest helping? That one most important piece of information for somebody to walk away with after they heard our conversation today?
I think the biggest helping would be just listen to your gut. You're not wrong. There will always be a million practical reasons why it makes sense to not change anything. But if your gut has been talking to you and then eventually screaming at you, you know, to make a change, like, you know, it's never wrong. That's what I would say.
Awesome. The book is Heal Your Career Wounds, Navigating the Trauma of Today's Workplace. We'll have a link to that in the show notes. But if somebody's listening to this, Mandy, and they said, hey, I want to find out more about her, where can they find you online other than your TikTok?
Yeah, so you can go to my website. It's mandytang.co, or you could go to my YouTube channel, which has more long form content as well.
Perfect. And we'll have links to everything Mandy Tang in the show notes at drrichardschuster.com. Well, Mandy, thanks for joining us today. I loved our conversation.
Thank you so much. I loved it too.
Awesome. And to each and every one of you who took time out of your day, thank you as well. If you learned something, if you liked it, go give us a follow and a 5-star review on the podcast app of your choice, because this is what helps other people find the show. But most importantly, go out there today and do something nice for somebody else, even if you don't know who they are, and post it in your feeds using the hashtag MyDailyHelping, because the happiest people are those that help others.